Well, good morning to you. I welcome you to worship this beautiful morning with the sun is shining. We haven't been able to see that very often in the last several days, so kind of gives you a different feeling and a hopefulness for spring, I do believe. I think I would like to announce that Joanne Satoff has been moved to the Owen Center in Peoria. And I believe that location is out north on 91 from the, is that the Grand Prairie Mall? Or, yeah, that's right. Okay, thank you. So our prayers are heartfelt as we remember Joanne and Richard and her family. And not only the prayers of our church this morning, but our daily prayers as well. And I thank the person for passing that information along, because I do believe, in knowing Joanne a little bit, that she would appreciate having her church family pray for her. So there we go. Thanks as well for those that have been praying for a good friend of ours, granddaughter. She did receive news this past week that cancer that she had on her thyroid, now this is a teenager we're talking about here, is clear now. And for that blessing, at least for the present, she's very thankful. And we wish to pass that word of thanks along to you that had been praying for her. Also a note that I'd like to share from last Sunday's annual meeting. It was very evident to Kathy and myself that this is definitely a congregation whose members pull together. And I hope that you know that and that you celebrate that as a church family. It's very important. But we noted that, and sometimes it's good to have someone notice something about you that is good and then compliment you on it honestly. So we do that at this point. Just prior to our opening of our service, I would invite the congregational officers that were elected, as well as those who serve on the council, to please come forward at this time. Would the new members line up along the altar rail, and the present council members stand behind them, if you would please, at this time. Please come forward. Oh, you can face me. They see enough of you, so I don't get to see as much of you. So. No. That's the better part. Okay. My friends, these are the people that you have elected and have faithfully supported to put your trust in as leaders of this congregation. And to their positions of leadership that they have each pertained, they have been asked to serve this congregation, more specifically, the people of this congregation, in the administration of this church. Our Lord, in their baptism, has called them to this point in their lives, and He has asked them to serve to the best of their ability, using the talents and the blessings that our Lord has given them. And as St. Paul wrote in one of his brief letters, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Spirit that gives them to each of us. And there are different ways of serving. But the same Lord is served in what we do. There are different abilities to perform services, but it's the same Lord that gives to each of these people the ability for a particular service, so that the Spirit's presence is shown in some way in each of these people for the good of all. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we pray for these people of God in Christ Jesus as they have willingly been giving of themselves in your service at St. Peter's. Guide them, Lord, according to the blessings and talents that you have given them. So on behalf of these sisters and brothers in Christ, each of you then are ready to accept and faithfully to carry out the ability and the duties of the offices to which you have been called. Lord, in your mercy, we ask your blessing upon this, their commitment. So as people of God, we ask you as well that we all support these people. These are our elected leaders, that we will share in a mutual ministry together, assisting, supporting, and helping where each of us can, so that Christ, who has given us this blessing, may be glorified in all that we do in this congregation. In your name we pray. So on behalf then of your brothers and sisters in Christ, I ask you to together confess if you are ready to accept and to faithfully carry out the duties and the offices to which you have been elected. If so, say together, yes, by the help of God, please. Yes, by the help of God. And people of God, I ask you, will you support these, your elected leaders at St. Peter? Will you share in their ministry of service to this congregation and community, so that Christ will be glorified in what people see in us as a congregation? If so, please answer together by saying, yes, by the help of God. So therefore, Lord, into your hands we commend all for whom are given their lives of service and for those who we continually will be praying. They trust in your mercy, Lord, and we pray this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who walks with us daily. May the peace of the Lord be with you always and also with each one. Amen. Go in peace and service as you serve this congregation and Lord. Again, these are people who bring with them to the offices that they've been elected their own particular talent, wisdom, and knowledge, so that each one serves in a place in which they can do the best for this congregation in the year ahead. And may the Lord always walk with them. Please rise if you are able as our service of worship begins. We worship in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom our hearts are open and our desires known, a God from whom no secrets are hid, we ask that you cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, and then worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. If we say we have no sin, well, we deceive ourselves, and the Bible says the truth is not in you. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, on what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. And as a called and ordained minister of this Church of Christ, by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all of your sins. That is in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our entrance hymn this morning, I Love to Tell the Story. to note that the liturgy today will be spoken entirely instead of being sung. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. And for the peace from above, for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, and for the well-being of the Church of God, for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. And for this holy house, for all who offer their here, their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. And help, save, comfort, defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of God, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High. Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And may the Lord be with each of you. Let us pray. O God, you know that we cannot withstand the dangers which surround us. So strengthen us in body and spirit so that with your help we may be able to overcome the weakness that our sin has brought upon us. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Our lecturer today is Fran.
Our first lesson is from the sixth chapter of Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? Here ends the reading. We're going to try something a little different. If everybody is with me, we'll try and sing the psalm a cappella. Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle, Who may abide upon your holy hill? Whoever leads a blameless life and does what is right, who speaks the truth from his heart. There is no guile upon his tongue, he does no evil to his friend. He does not heap contempt upon his neighbor. In his sight the wicked is rejected, but he honors those who fear the Lord. He has sworn to do no wrong and does not take back his word. He does not give his money in hope of gain, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things shall never be overthrown. Our second lesson is from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks desire wisdom. But we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful, not many were of noble birth, but God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Here ends the reading.
And our verse is, Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, Alleluia. You know, case in point of what I was saying earlier in the announcements, when Fran said, we're going to sing responsively the psalm, I said to myself, I'm just going to keep quiet because I don't know if I can sing without it. But she led us, and we followed right along. The Bible says, and he will raise up among you a leader. This morning she was it. Mysterious ways. The gospel is from Matthew, the 5th chapter. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. After he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. And I invite the boys and girls to please come down front this morning. Hey. There we go. Maybe it's best if I just kind of stand here this morning, because I'm going to want you to use these. But I want to ask you, well, you know what these are, right? Binoculars. Okay? Okay. Take a look through them and see if you can focus on someone way in the back. Can you? No, the other way. That makes them look farther away. Okay, pass it along, and you focus on maybe your mom or your dad, okay? Isn't it kind of neat to be able to see something far away when it comes close to you? Hey. Okay, pass it along, please. Scope in on your mom and dad. There you go. You found them? They're still here? Okay. You see her? Okay. Next person. Yeah, now you're taking them. Now you're, oh, there she is, right there. I think this guy kind of likes these, don't you? There you go. I might have to get, you're exactly right. Isn't it neat when you can look into the distance using those binoculars, see something so far away, and it comes right up close? I want to tell you a story today about a guy named Simeon in the Bible. And his story was one of the big lessons for us today in church. And when he saw Jesus for the very first time, and Jesus was a little baby, and his mom and dad, they brought him to this big place called the temple in a big city called Jerusalem. And Simeon said right away, I know exactly who you are. And I thought, how could Simeon recognize Jesus? How did he have the ability to look so far in the future and know something that everybody else didn't? So I want to ask you a question now. I want you to look way far into the future, maybe as far as 10 years from now, okay? How old are you now?
Five.
Okay. Okay, let's say somewhere between 15 and 20 years old, okay? Now, what can you, this kid's really having a blast over these binoculars. Got to remember that. What can you see yourself being in about, let's say, 15 years from now? A what? I thought you said a Catholic nun. I know, no, I know. I don't think that's going to happen, bud, but okay. I don't know. Maybe you'll be good for them. I tell you. Okay. Can you see yourself being maybe a teacher? I think some of you, when I look at you and learn a little bit more about you, I think you'd be an exceptionally good teacher. And we need teachers today. Can any of you see yourself being someone like a policeman? Can you see yourself being a fire woman? A fire lady? Could you see yourself being a lawyer? There you go. I wanted you to look in the future and just kind of start to think about things that maybe you'd like to see yourself become. Because when Simeon looked at Jesus, he knew who Jesus would become when he grew up. He would become a very special and powerful person that would be known as Jesus. And this person would do so much for people that he would be remembered in the years to come. So as you look into your future, and it's not going to be too far from now, you'll be choosing the type of person you want to become the rest of your life. It's called your profession or your job. But I want you to know that Jesus calls you to do it to the best of your ability using your talents, okay? I see in you things that maybe you don't see in yourself now, but I bet you they will come true in the future. Okay. Thank you this morning for coming down. There we go. There you go. Take a last look out there. Do you have a pair of binoculars at home?
No.
Well, you gotta get some now, huh? Okay. Thank you. You gotta look at them for us. They are. Thank you. You work on that being a Catholic nun. I'll come back. I'll come back to check on you in the future. Okay. Story today in the alternative gospel was about Simeon and Anna in the temple and their quick recognition of this infant Jesus and who he was become. It's a remarkable ability that they possessed that was God-given. Let us pray. Lord, the words of Simeon's song have become famous, that you dismissed him when he saw the child Jesus and took him in his arms. His life had been fulfilled. He felt it completely. And Lord, you had blessed him with recognition. Help us, Lord, to see you today in this world of ours. In your name we pray, amen. You know, perhaps no more beautiful words have ever been written impromptu than Simeon's words in the courts of the Jerusalem temple that day. When he took the infant Jesus up in his arms and spoke these memorable words, "Great Lord, just as you have promised, now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes, they have seen your salvation, which today you have prepared in the sight of all these people. He will be a light for for the revelation to the Gentiles, and he will be the glory of your people Israel. I couldn't come up with words like that if Jesus was standing right here. So impromptu, but you know, so from the heart. They're known as Simeon songs. And whatever Simeon saw that precise moment in time, it's the same thing, I do believe, that believers who believe in all of God's promises have been looking for generations, and wanting all of these promises of God to come true, thinking that it's definitely time now in this world of ours. It's definitely time when all God's lofty promises should come true. There's no better time in history than now, God. And those things which God, the Bible tells us, that God has prepared for since the beginning of time for mankind, for all of humanity, those things finally arrive. They come true. They happen. And we get to see them. Those things that Simeon said will be to people who get to see them a tremendous revelation, a tremendous revealing of God's power, and a sense of God's glory. And seeing these things will be a time in which all of us, believer and non-believer, sufferer and the healthiest person on the face of the earth, will drop to our knees and we will praise God. What a beautiful thought that Simeon had in his heart. I believe, and I know by reading, that since time immortal, people have always wanted to know, always wanted to have a sign, a show me that God exists. We would like to see God. We would like to have this comfort in our heart that all these things that we believe and we espouse and we confess before the altar, all of these things were worthwhile. And we would believe that, you know, if God would just show us, if God would just show us that God exists, I for sure would lead a better life. If I could just be shown, so I have proof, I would live a better life. I kind of wondered, you know, so what if God would actually show you in some way this coming week ahead that God exists in a concrete way that you would have no doubt whatsoever about? If God would prove that to you, would it change your life? Would it do anything for mine that would make it much different for more, let's say, than a couple days? As I look at that man in Jerusalem by the name of Simeon, and I know nothing about him. The Bible lets us know nothing about who he worked for. He just hung around the temple a lot. Or when the Bible tells me in that same gospel text about Anna, a prophetess, and when I see in my mind as I read these words about Simeon, as I see Simeon noticing that just the sight of Jesus coming through the doors in the outer courts of the temple, just the sight of him made his entire life complete so that he could say, Lord, I could die tomorrow. At least I could say I have seen you in my life. Just being there in the midst of Jesus for a short time with all of his hopes and all things in his life not mattering at all anymore. Just overcome by being in the presence of Jesus. How I would think that would change a person's life. And Anna, the prophetess, concluding that text in verse 38 there of Luke, she comes up to Joseph and Mary, and she immediately begins to give thanks for this child. And she turned to others who were obviously gathering around at that moment to see this sight. And she spoke about what this child is going to mean out of her ability to see into the future as a prophetess. For her, the search was over. There was nothing else in life that would be any greater than what she had seen at that moment. I can't say I've ever been there in my life to know what Anna was feeling. Or what Simeon was admitting when he said, Lord, there's nothing greater to live for in my life. I've seen you. So now you can dispatch me to the place I want to be. There have been so many generations, if you count them, that have passed since Simeon spoke and Anna prophesied. But there are people of every generation that have passed that for them, this one child, this very infant named Jesus, for them became the living, breathing revelation of who God really is. That God was in this child. Even the world today finds people who actually seek him every day that they are alive. It's what entirely matters to them. That's all they want. I can't say I've really met too many people like that. I remember John Lennon, who was one of the members of the Beatles, and now I kind of get the meaning of that song when he wrote it, My Sweet Lord, I really want to see him. I really want to feel him. He was seeking the Lord. Even from his agnostic standpoint of view in the world, he was still open that the Lord would someday show that he existed to John Lennon. And there have been a myriad of scholars that have maintained the quest for a historical Jesus for centuries. In spite of the world, they still want to believe that God exists. Don't you and I? Wouldn't we love to have a sign? Wouldn't we want to have something pop up in our daily lives that would convince us that God exists? And that because of that revelation, I'd lead a better life. I would fully believe. The question becomes for us, how can I know Jesus like Simeon did? How can I praise him like Anna did, fully, honestly, and completely? Well, there's an answer to that, And it is in the book of John. And I think John wrote that gospel in the Bible with our question in his mind. How can I know that God exists? Where do I begin my quest? When he finished his book, he put in the last few verses these words, quote, "I wrote this book so that you will come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, God's Son." John wrote that book for that express purpose. And he says in other places in that book, if you're really looking for him, in other words, if you receive him, John says, if you take him up in your arms like Simeon did, and you believe in him like Anna, you'll be that child of God that you want to become. If you receive and you believe, you will be that child of God that you want to become. We're all looking for him. We're all wanting him to come into this world just as it is right now, and to reveal himself in all of his glory like he promises that he will do. And it's all out there for you and me to take personally, and for you and me to believe pivotally. Just like he says in John's first chapter, if you receive and you believe, you will become that child of God that you're searching to become. Amen. Lord, help us in our daily quest to find you in this world, to be able to somehow take you up in our arms like a Simeon, to be able to see in your word that which Anna did, and then, Lord, to believe in you with all of our faith. Your promises will come true. We believe. Amen.